It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Welcome back to the MMA show. This is a really important show that we have today. I really feel it's God inspired, and please don't turn the dial for the next half hour. We're going to be speaking to the Sanders family. They're going through a lot right now. They have some struggles, and God is using this opportunity to really minister to this family in a way that they probably never could even imagine. And we're going to be talking to Josh today, and he has what is known as pancreatitis, and I'm going to let him explain that to us in just a few minutes. So this is your opportunity to really reach out and minister to someone, even though you don't know them. I don't really know them all that well, but I know this. I know God put them in my life for a reason, and I am so excited to be a part of helping the family in any way I can. And today on Tuesday, I'm going to ask you to go to Chevy's Mexican restaurant. It's at the Arrowhead Mall location. There's going to be a fundraiser to help this family raise funds because Joshua needs a transplant. Make sure when you go to Chevy's, you let him know you're here because Joshua Sanders. So with no further ado, I want to welcome the Sanders family. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You want to share a little bit about yourself as the mother and what's your name? And
I'm Lynn. Actually, my last name now is Green. I remarried. Josh is my son, and Josh has had this problem since he was in fifth grade, but they didn't find it until he was 18. At 18 years old, he had his first attack, and it landed him in the hospital for nearly a month and almost killed him.
What attacks are we talking about here?
Normally, with pancreatitis, you don't get pancreatitis until you're over 40 or a severe, long-term alcoholic.
Mm.
So a child normally only gets this if they've had or suffered a severe injury to the chest. The pancreas is located just below the chest bone, right behind there, and it's the only organ that doesn't really have a protective covering.
Okay.
So it's extremely, extremely painful. At 18, he landed in the hospital. The doctor, when I called him and said, listen, my son is bent over in half and is pure white. Mm-hmm. What do I do? They said, oh, it's probably the flu. But if you really are uncomfortable, go ahead and take him in. Mm. Needless to say, we ended up at the hospital in the emergency room. They did blood work and came back and said, he's got pancreatitis. I was lost. It was, what is that? They proceeded to tell me they were going to go ahead and put him in ICU overnight just to monitor him. They reassured me that everything would be fine. So I was like, okay, what is this? Well, come to find out, your pancreas does two purposes in your body. First is it has islet cells that create the insulin to keep you from being a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
The second is it releases amylase and lipase, which are the enzymes that break down all the food and liquids that we consume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very important.
Very, very important. Both of these functions. At this point, they just said it was a pancreatic attack, and sometimes they happen, which is the pancreas was aggravated for whatever reason. And they were just going to monitor him. Okay, well, they did. I left the hospital. They told me I couldn't be in there, that they were just going to monitor him, set him up in ICU, and to come back the next morning. The next morning, I walked into his whole room covered in doctors and specialists.
Wow.
And tubes out of every part of his body. And I was like, wait a minute, what happened here? And they said that one of his lungs collapsed, one was filling with fluid. All of his other organs were starting to shut down. All of your organs in your body tend to function and react off of the pancreas.
Oh.
So that hospital stay, he was in there for in intensive care for 6 days, and they only moved him out because I was there round the clock. I wouldn't leave after that.
If I was the mom, I think I would just be in total shock.
Oh,
I see my baby, and I'm hearing all of his organs are shutting down.
I was in a panic. I was calling everyone and begging, please, somebody.
Right. That's and scary.
I get teary-eyed even now after all these years.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept him in ICU for 6 days and only moved him out because they got hit with a lot of serious heart patients, and I was there around the clock. So they felt comfortable enough to move him to a regular room with me there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't comfortable in releasing him because he had tubes draining the fluids out of his stomach. He was on NPO, which is no fluids or food by mouth at all, just
intravenously.
IVs. Yeah, all intravenous. And they said he couldn't take any steps forward until he could tolerate even clear liquids, and he was nowhere near ready for that. His fever shot up to over 104, up to 106 even one time.
That you could have mental damage from that alone.
Exactly, exactly. One night I did leave the hospital to go stay at home. Got home, took a shower, was going to go to bed, and they called and said his fever's at 106. We have him on ice packs. Get back here now. We don't know if he'll make it through the night.
Wow. My heart would just break at that point.
Yeah, after that, I didn't leave.
I wouldn't either. So, I don't blame you.
Slowly but surely, then, afterwards, he got better. He did okay for a few years. Then he ended up joining the military. He went to basic training and had another attack. And prior to joining the military, he did get married.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Had another attack in South Carolina, though, while in basic training. Spent a month in the military base hospital there. And they gave him a medical discharge. He came home, did okay for a little while. And for the last 4 years, 4.5 years now, it's been chronic, which means that there's calcifications and it's worse. There is no turning back. When the doctor told us, he had tears in his eyes.
So imagine being Joshua, and we're going to get to him in a second. He's here. But being Joshua, having a family, realizing the responsibility he has, and then not being able to do it because physically he can't, not because he doesn't want to, but because he physically can't. And today Josh comes to us, and I'm so thankful he was able to make it in today. He's not feeling that great, and so this is really an honor for us to even be listening to him on the radio today, because when you have something so severe like this, just to get out of bed, I'm sure, is a chore in itself. Josh, thank you so much for coming on the program with us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us, what have you been going through up until this point? What's going through your mind? Just walk us through an everyday occurrence with you.
Well, especially as of late, it's been rough. With pancreatitis, it's very painful, causes a lot of nausea and vomiting, and really makes it hard to do much of anything. I mean, to get out of bed is something, you know, for the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, really no way to hold a job. I mean, I've got a 4-year-old son, and I can barely take care of him by myself. And even then, I need, you know, somebody around, somebody that can, you know, that can be helping me with that, because he's a handful.
I'm sure. Little boys are.
And, you know, to make things worse, he's a special needs baby. So, you know, he's even, you know, it causes that much more, or needs that much more, I guess. Yeah, it's been rough. And, you know, I was diagnosed with this the day he was born. So I've literally had this his entire life.
And your mother brought in a picture of him. And let me tell you guys, this baby is so cute. And I know he's 4, but he's so cute. So I wish you guys could see what I'm seeing, because he's a really adorable son. You have a really good looking
thank
boy.
Thank you. Thank you.
So every day, like, what about in school and things like that? I mean, what's going through your mind growing up with having problems all the time?
You know, like my mom said, it started like in the 5th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And before this happened, I was a straight A student and was in school every day, and I liked going to school. But then once this started happening, I started missing a lot of days. My grades started slipping early, and, you know, it made it real hard to graduate high school. Because I think, like my senior year, I think I ended up missing like 75 out of 175 days of school.
Wow.
So, because I was constantly sick with this, so it caused all kinds of problems there. And, you know, when I did have the periods where everything was okay, you know, I would do what I could and, you know, be there. And, you know, because we didn't know exactly what was going on. You know, it was the same thing once I started working. You know, I would have issues where it was hard for me to get to work at certain times, and yeah, so that caused all kinds of problems. I mean, I did hold the job for quite a while, right up until I was diagnosed with this, but with the chronic pancreatitis.
Mm. But, is there a difference?
Yeah, acute pancreatitis is just a single attack.
Okay.
And when that happens, the pancreas becomes inflamed and your amylase and lipase levels go up, and it causes the same pain and the same nausea and vomiting, but it's a single occurrence. Whereas with the chronic pancreatitis, I now have calcifications on my pancreas, and an everyday thing.
Which means your pancreas is actually getting hard, like a rock almost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the ducts in the pancreas get full of these little rocks, as we're calling them, calcifications.
Right.
So what they've done is his gastroenterology specialist has gone in several times now and put stents in the ducts to keep the fluids flowing.
Wow.
Because what will happen is when he does have a severe attack or an acute attack, which he can still have even though it's chronic, mm-hmm. he lives with it every single day, he still has flare-ups or acute attacks, then there's all this excess amylase and lipase enzymes that are building up in the pancreas, and they flood out all at once. But if they're blocked, that stuff is sitting inside the pancreas, and those enzymes are what actually, they're like acidic, like an acid, that are eating away and breaking down the food. So that's, they're doing that to the pancreas. The amylase
down.
And lipase drain from the pancreas into the stomach to break down this, where the breakdown is started in the stomach and then goes through into the intestines.
So all that is stuck up above your stomach where you really... So what happens when you eat? Are you not able to digest it?
I have to take enzymes every time that I eat.
Okay.
The enzymes that the pancreas normally produces, I have to take those before I eat so that I can digest food. But as soon as I eat, my pancreas flares up. My pain level goes up quite a bit just because of eating.
I bet you don't even want to eat anymore.
No,
huh?
No.
It's just some eating to us, like a regular person that doesn't have this disease or illness, we take that for granted. Like, oh, I'm hungry. Let me go just go to the fridge. Ooh, this looks good. Let me have this. And we're enjoying it. Whereas you, it's like, oh, man, I got to eat again. If I eat, then I'm going to be in severe pain. That is torture. I would imagine it would be torture.
Yeah, and every time I eat, I have to go, like, lay down for a while because my pain level goes up so much that I really can't do anything else. So I'll eat and then have to go, lay down in my bed for a little while and let things calm down just so that I can, come back out and deal
now
with it.
I mentioned you were having a fundraiser tonight at Chevy's Restaurant at Arrowhead Mall. I'm going to be there, and I would love all my radio listeners right now to please be there. This man is obviously in severe pain, and we have this opportunity to make a difference in his life. And you may not ever meet him, you might not ever know him, but you would be a part of something so big. Like my sponsors who allow me to even come on the air, they are a part of something so big that they have no idea. So this is our opportunity to really practice some of God's principles, and I'm going to be sharing that with you, a couple stories today. But go ahead and explain to us what this fundraiser is all about.
Well, I have to get a pancreatectomy, and with that they're going to transfer the islet cells that are in my pancreas to my liver so that I don't become a diabetic, and at least for some period of time. They're trying to put that off as long as possible. My insurance does cover part of the procedure, but they don't cover the islet cell transfer. And so because of that, I have to come up with the money to get that part of the surgery done.
Are we talking about a couple hundred, couple thousand?
We're talking about
$60,000. $60,000? That is some people's annual income. $60,000. I hope my listeners heard that, $60,000 to finish the transplant, because your insurance, I assume you're on Access, will only cover part of it?
Yeah, I'm on Access and Medicare, and they'll cover just taking out the pancreas, but they won't cover the islet cell transfer, which they're not going to put the pancreas back in, but they're going to take the cells out of the pancreas and put them into my liver.
Okay.
And they don't cover that end of it. So.
Wow. So this has given us an opportunity to really help this family out. I mean, what difference is it going to be in your life if you come up with a $60,000?
Well, it would give me the opportunity to be able to take care of my son on a daily basis, to be able to provide for my son, because at this point I'm on disability and that covers some things, but I really can't provide for him in the way that I should be able to. And on top of it, it would help me to be able to basically to get out of bed, to be able to do the things that every adult should be able to do. And the main part of that is to provide for my son. I want nothing more than to be able to get up out of bed and go to work every day just so that I can provide for him and so that I can take care of him.
And I'm sure as he gets older, he'll have stuff at school that you'd probably want to be a part of. And I know it probably will pain you as a parent not to be able to participate in things that your son will be a part of in the future. Am I correct
on
that assumption?
Yeah, it's already affected a few things. He goes to like a pre-kindergarten school because of him being special needs. And I've already missed field trips and things like that that I would have loved to have been able to go to. But unfortunately, you know, because of my illness, I wasn't able to get to any of them. And then, you know, on top of that, like school plays and things like that mm-hmm. that he's already been in that I've missed.
So I'm sure that's painful for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love to be able to be there for him and, you know.
Now this morning, I've been asking God for a long time because I knew within the last week or so you'd come on the program. And I know for myself, when I'm going through something or I want God to come and meet one of my needs, sometimes my verbiage isn't the best. I might catch myself saying, I hope God will provide, or I hope this will happen. I hope that will happen. Not I'm certain it's going to happen. Not that I know God's going to meet me where I need him to be. And today, Josh, I don't know if that's what you're going through, but I have something specifically for you today. I want you to know that there's promises in the book of God, and I know you probably already know that. And God said he's going to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And God's using this time in your life to build your faith, to strengthen your faith. And there might be somewhere down the line where you're going to meet a person with a similar situation as you, or something that's really traumatic, really hard for them to go through, which is a battle every single day. And you're going to have the opportunity to sit beside them and minister to them in a way where I probably couldn't reach out to them because I wouldn't know exactly the struggles they're going through. So there's several scriptures actually that came to mind. And one thing I know is it really depends on faith. Faith moves God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is the most important thing. And as I was really asking God to give me something, just something, the story of the woman who had an issue of blood, and maybe one of my listeners is out there and dealing with something similar to you, and maybe this message is for them too. But I want to read you, it's in Luke 8, it's verse 43. I might back up just a little bit. In the beginning, Jesus is on his way to help a little girl come back to life. And it says, "Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been the subject of bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped." And Jesus turned around. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." And Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, and I know that my power had gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told him why she touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Josh, faith is what's going to bring this to fruition. You have $60,000 you need. $60,000. By faith. And your faith is going to increase. So you're going to be held accountable for this. If you hear anyone in your family saying, "I hope," you're going to say, "No, it will happen." I got another verse for you. John 3:1-2. "I pray that you will prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers." It's God's will that all of us be in good health. It's not got out of God's will. That's why I'm certain when I'm telling you this, because we have to be in alignment with God's will. We can't pray for something that's not in his will and expect it to come to pass. I have some verses on that too, so I want to clarify that. But it's God's will for everyone to be in health. And it, because we have a fallen nation, is the reason why we have sicknesses like pancreatitis. It's not because Josh did anything to deserve it. It's just because we live in a fallen state. But God is trying to tell us that it's our faith that heals us. That woman had faith, and Jesus said, it was your faith in me. You had faith in me to know with certainty that I'm going to heal you. What does Hebrews 11:1 say? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, but things yet not seen. Now, this ties in to an Old Testament story. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. This verse ties into this Old Testament scripture that I want to tell you. And it's found in Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And that's going out to my listening audience. Because Josh was given this opportunity by God to increase his faith, and by this trial, tribulation, whatever you want to call it, he's going to have the opportunity to minister to somebody. But you have the opportunity to give. And in Luke 6:38, it's a command with a promise. He's telling you, do it, and this is going to happen to you. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. With the measure you use, it will be used with you. So let's look, and actually it's in 1 Kings, and I'm sure you guys have all heard this story before. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to be talking about Elijah, okay? And God's providing for his need, okay? God will provide, what does the Bible say? It's a promise. God will provide for your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Elijah did what the Lord told him, and he went to the ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there, and the ravens brought him bread, meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in the place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, where he came into town, and he saw a widow there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and bring me a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a mug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and a meal for me and my son, that we may eat and then die. So they only had enough to make one meal. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as I have said. And first make a small cake of bread for me and do what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jar of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. And she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. And for the jar of flour that was not used up and the jug of oil that was not running dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. That right there goes directly with Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be used with you. Elijah had a need, and God met his need every single time. Elijah needed food. God provided. The widow and his son had a need. And what she saw in the natural is that she only had enough for today, and she was going to die. But God saw something else in the supernatural. And by obeying God's commands, we have a promise. When we follow God's commands, and maybe today God's tugging on your heart to give to this family. And one way you can do that is by going to this restaurant tonight at Arrowhead Mall at the Chevy's location. Maybe you feel like, I don't have enough for my electricity bill. That's all the money I have. Or maybe God's asking you, they have a bank account at Bank of America, to make a donation to this family. Maybe God's telling you, put that $138 that you were going to use for your electricity bill, I know that's all you had, but put it in there and see what's going to happen. Maybe God's doing that to you. Now, I'm not asking you to give unless God's directing you to give, because that would not be right. But if God's tugging on your heart, even in the slightest degree, we have a promise when we follow God's commands, and we've seen it in 1 Kings. It's again in the New Testament, and God repeats himself over and over. He doesn't change. He said he's going to provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory, and this young man and his family need $60,000. If you can't make it to dinner tonight, there are accounts there at Bank of America, and you can ask the teller to put it in Joshua E. Sanders Medical Fund account. You spell their last name, S as in Sam, A as in Adam, N as in Nancy, D as in David, E as in Edward, R as in Roger, S as in Sam. Joshua E. Sanders Medical Fund at Bank of America. You can also do PayPal at joshuaesanders@q.com. This family really is looking forward to a miracle, and I really am believing in God will provide, but only move when God tells you to move. Only give when God tells you to give. I don't want to see anyone in any financial struggle. Well, you said to give and no more. Give if God is instructing you. If you feel a tug on your heart, then give. And don't worry about the rest. God will provide. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. And I'm going to keep you in your prayers, and I will see you tonight at Chevy's, and I hope to see you guys on the radio at Chevy's. Okay?
With the rapid pace of technology advancements, purchasing computers or networking your business's workstations can become confusing and frustrating. Let LPGA Technology Control help provide answers to all your computer-related needs. Whether you have one computer or a 50 workstation network, we can help plot a course to make the best use of your investment. LPGA Technology Control provides consulting, installation, and upgrade products and services for systems of all sizes. Visit us on the web at www.lpga.net or give us a call at 623-873-8888. That's 623-873-8888.
Hi, this is Amber May, and I found some of the best burgers and gyros in town, and I have to tell you about it. You have to go visit Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue in Peoria, right in the Target Shopping Plaza on the southwest corner. This is a family-owned and operated business, and they have awesome food. They even have the Amber May special. So if you're hungry, make sure you go check out Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue in Peoria. Everything is made fresh, and they have a $2.99 burger and fries special. That's at Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue and Peoria.
Come and visit my parents' restaurant and make sure you check out the Amber May special while you are there. It's so good.
Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance Agency. We're your one-stop solution to quality insurance. We offer personalized coverage for your home, auto, life, and business needs. Let the office of Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance help you get back to where you belong. We offer life insurance and universal life plans to protect your family. We're here for your financial needs while offering IRA tax-sheltered annuities, too. Let us protect your insurance needs along with bringing you peace of mind. Let us insure your future. Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance. Call 623-925-9411. 623-925-9411.